I wanted to read the prayer of the week that Bruce sent us earlier this week. Of course, my phone. Okay. And Bruce had written, "Here's the prayer for the week. I hope it fills you and propels you this week. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that, having this hope, I may purify myself as he is pure, that when he comes again with glory and great glory, I may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen." Before you think that I always read the prayer of the week. I don't always, but this one kind of stood out to me just in a couple ways. So I emailed Bruce with some questions about what does that mean, digging deeper into the works of the devil. And we had a little discussion about that. But also this part here, that we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, that really stood out to me. And I wanted to kind of share a couple snippets that remind me of that or make me think of that and hopefully tie into the meal that we're going to share. So I've been reading the past day, a book called Courage is Calling by Ryan Holiday. And I started listening to it. I usually read books, and I usually don't like audiobooks so much, but I got this audiobook, Courage is Calling, and I started listening to it last night, and I kept listening to it until I just couldn't stay awake, not 1 minute longer. And then as soon as I woke up this morning, I was back in again, but just talking about how there is no, things don't move forward without courage. And he just gives tons and tons of examples of people throughout history who have been courageous and have been afraid but moved through their fear to do what they felt they were being called to do. And that just really stood out to me, I think, because I'm in a position right now where I'm considering changing careers again, or kind of adjusting some things. And so I'm needing courage. I'm needing some courage to step out there. I know what I need to do, but it's still scary to me. So then after listening to this book last night and then this morning, I'm almost done. It gave me the courage to tell you guys something that's been kind of rolling around in my mind. And then when I heard that Jennifer wouldn't be able to do, I almost said story time. Table talk. I'm still a librarian at heart. I thought maybe this is an opportunity to just share something that's been bothering me. So I want to, or something that's been in my heart, talk about something that's called, I call junk in the trunk. So as you know, junk in the trunk, sometimes people use that phrase to talk about people who have big rear ends. But the way I'm using it today is thinking about my Aunt May. And you guys have heard me talk about some of my family members. Well, Aunt May is not actually related to me, but she is the one that kind of took my mom under her wing when she first moved to Los Angeles. And so we started calling her Aunt May. She's my godmother. And I remember, I'll never forget this image, that Aunt May went to open something in her trunk. She had a giant Cadillac. And she was a teacher, and in the back of her trunk was like so much stuff in her car. It was just so much stuff in there. I couldn't believe it. I think my jaw just dropped. Like, how could anybody have this much stuff in the back of their car? And then I as I grew older, I realized that she was probably a hoarder. But Aunt May put a lot of effort into other people and to helping others. But at the end of her life, as far as I know, she's still alone in a rest home. And I don't know if she has anybody really looking out for her. Someone who did so much for others And so I started thinking about what that means. What that means for women, that so much we give so much of ourselves, and we often don't we don't take care of ourselves as we give to others. And so, if Aunt May, I keep thinking, if Aunt May had more time or had more thought more about herself, maybe she wouldn't have been had so much so busy taking care of others. And then I went, and I don't know, something, I had to go get something out of my car, and I looked in my trunk and I saw that I had a bunch of stuff, and I said, oh no, it's happening. It's happening to me too, you know. And I was like, there was no rhyme or reason, you know, what I had back there. So I decided that day my trunk is going to be empty. And also just been thinking about this, you know, in life, about how to take care of myself, but yet also hear the call to be a good neighbor and to love others as well. And so what does this have to do with Jesus? What does this have to do with being like him? I believe that when we ingest the blood of Jesus and his body, that we are ingesting someone, a person who has the ability to make real change, so that, I don't know what that's going to look like for you. I don't know what that means for our world, but I know during the pandemic and this, you know, the past couple of years, that our world is changing drastically. And I believe that, and Bruce has also said this too, that it's, we're getting little glimpses. We're getting glimpses of what God is doing. So I know I'm kind of all over the place, but I believe that when we ingest this meal, that we are taking into ourselves and the ability to do things differently than they've been done before. And I think that's something to really just really dwell on and think about, that a lot of times we're thinking about forgiveness. Of course, Jesus came for forgiveness for us, but I think also we have access to the creator of the universe, who is going to set things right, as it said in the prayer of the week, who can set things right, and we can become like him, and we can make a difference, and we can also give that hope to others. So just some thoughts. Let's share this meal together.